Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Lord, we thank you that there is no junior Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the love that these kids have for you. Lord, we thank you for this church. It's in your mighty name that everybody said, amen and amen. Surprise, I'm on the side. You guys can take a seat. What a beautiful morning to be in church this morning. And by the way, where do my kids go? I need my kids down the front. We got cushions out for you guys and everything. Where did you run to? Boys and girls, if you want to come back down the front, we have comfy cushions. Feel free to sit down the front. All of them are like, no, I'm safe with mum and dad. Noah will sit down the front with me. That's okay. Oh, hello. Hey, before we go anywhere this morning, if you don't know me, my name is Aiden. I'm the kids director here along with my wonderful wife, Stacey. And it is the biggest honor of my life to be the kids director here. Nothing fills me with more joy than coming every single Sunday and seeing kids encounter Jesus, seeing kids learn the word of God and seeing the Spirit move up in Beacon Kids, and the Spirit is moving. And there's so much evidence of that this morning, even seeing some kids on stage who a year ago I had to bribe with chocolate just to get into the kids' rooms, you know? And here they are on stage performing their hearts out, and it's just so incredible to see. And so, but I know that I can't do that alone. And we have such a remarkable team. And so before we go anywhere this morning, if you serve in kids at the moment, can you just stand for a moment, please? And can we just give these guys a massive round of applause? I mean, we see the Spirit moving up there, and it is all part because each one of these people gives time every week to disciple these young kids. And we're just so grateful for every moment that you spend with our children. So as a church, I want to honor you guys and thank you for everything that you do for our children, because this isn't possible without you guys. So can we give them one more round of applause? They take a seat. And it's my honor to bring the word this morning. And as Stacey mentioned before, we are continuing the series of parables. However, who knows that it wouldn't be a kids event without telling the parable in a bit of a different way. I'm not just going to read you a parable. Instead, we have a remarkable skit. Everybody's trying to figure out what is going on with these props on stage. I love it. But today we are going to tell you a parable. And so I'm going to set the scene. One day, Jesus told this parable. It was about a builder. The builder wanted to build a huge tower. They had a dream, so they called some fellow builders to get to work. For the low, low price of $100 an hour, you can get the best brickies laborer you've ever seen. Toby, look at that, like it's nothing. Show us those guns, Toby. Now, if you'll remember, the builder had big plans. They were going to build the best tower the world had ever seen. But there was a problem. The builder had never actually sat down and thought about just how much it might cost them. So very quickly, they began to run out of bricks. Going to have a quick lunch break while we work this out. Snow coat's on. Ooh. Sounds like you're in quite the pickle. Let's see. Maybe somebody was really moved by Savvy's message before and wants to tithe right now. Who's got some money for our young builder? Hey, we got a hand back there. Is that... there we go. Off you go, Gabby. Get the money. She's got it. It wasn't looking very good for our builder. You know, since the cost was never calculated, they ran out of bricks and the builder couldn't finish their magnificent tower. There was a foundation, sure. There were some walls, but there wasn't a roof. There wasn't paint. There wasn't even a kitchen, no carpet, no nothing. It was just an unfinished pile of bricks. And of course, since it was an unfinished tower, our builder was never protected from the storms. It's quite a long storm. Xander, you don't have to empty it, mate. It's okay. And Jesus said that all ridiculed the builder for starting to build and never finishing. Oh my goodness. Can we please give all of our actors a round of applause? Well done, you guys. Oh, who enjoyed that? We love to have fun up in Beacon Kids, and I mean, there's no better way than telling a story. And parents, I know that you'll know this, but because it's something that I've learned in my years in kids ministry and even as a chaplain, is that kids have a really, really unique gift of lengthening stories. You know, like, do parents relate to that? I've like had conversations that go on for 45 minutes that could have been summarized by "I pet my dog this morning." You know, it's like, I didn't need to know all the side details. What you had for breakfast had nothing to do with it. They just have this gift of lengthening stories. And to give you a little bit of context, this is the story that we just told you. It comes from the book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 28 to 30. If you wanted to build a tower, you would first sit down and decide how much it would cost. You must see if you have enough money to finish the job. If you don't do that, you might begin the work, but you would never be able to finish. And if you could not finish it, then all who would see it would laugh at you. They would say, "This man began to build, but was not able to finish." In the words of Billy. So we see in this story a builder who has a goal in mind, right? They want to build the most incredible tower. And I can see this builder, just like all of our wonderful actors showed, right? They're like, "Oh, I'm going to build the best tower. You guys, you're not going to believe this. It is going to be the best." But then they never, ever get to finish it. Adults in the room, who's got some unfinished projects at home? Who's had some projects that have gone for a few more years than they should have? You know, it's like, it started with, "I'm going to zhuzh up the alfresco," and all of a sudden it's just a disaster for years, you know? I wish that I could say I don't relate. The truth is, this was me just a year ago. And I had this dream. We had a property, and down the bottom of the property, there was this wonderful little shed. And it was empty for a long time. And I walked down there, I looked, and I said, "You know what? This would be the best man cave." Oh, I had the Pinterest boards going. I was like drawing up the plans, you know, painting the floor where the cabinetry is going to go. And it was going to be fantastic. We're going to have leather seats in there. I was trying to see if I could fit an arcade machine in there. We had the moody lighting. Well, I was backlighting all of my Dolphins merch, you know, fins up. It was going to be the best man cave. And so I was looking at the job ahead. I had to weatherproof the shed. I had to build some walls, insulate it, redo the floors, build the cabinetry, all this sort of stuff. Boys and girls, who wants to be a builder when they're older? Toby. Oh my goodness. Okay, you tell me. What would be the first thing you would do? Would you weatherproof it? Would you build walls? What do you think the first step is? The walls? That would be a great place to start. I started by buying leather chairs. First thing I did, jump on Facebook Marketplace. Where are the leather chairs? The dream's not complete without them, you know? And so I had leather chairs, an ugly room, and a dream. And so I did get to work. I didn't delay. I started, I weatherproofed it, redid the floors, started building the walls, got all the power roughed in, the aircon pipes roughed in, all that fun stuff. And then it got to the plastering. Got a secret for you. Well, I don't like plastering. It's not my favorite thing to do. Sheeting, plastering, it's just not my thing. And weirdly enough, and I think it's just a coincidence, but weirdly enough, when it got to the plaster stage, the job progress started to drop off a little bit. You know, instead of like that progress every single day, all of a sudden it started to drop off, and it sat there for a few months until we decided to sell the property. And so I've got this unfinished, ugly room, some leather chairs, no longer a dream because I'm selling the property. And I had to finish this thing. And our real estate agent was like, "Mate, don't do what you were going to do because that's going to cost way too much money. Just do it the cheapest way possible." So all of a sudden, when we go to market, instead of having this amazing man cave that I told so many people about, right? Asked some of the men in this place, I'm telling you, I was telling them, I was showing them the Pinterest boards. I was like, "Boys, it's going to be great." And instead, what I had to show for it was an empty home gym. No gym equipment. I'm not that kind of guy. And that was it. And to be honest, it was a little embarrassing. I told everybody, "Hey, you're going to want to come over every single weekend. This man cave is going to be sick." And then it never happened. And this feeling of embarrassment is something that I'm sure all of us want to avoid, right? It is kids' takeover. You can be a little louder than normal. It's okay. We want to avoid that, right? Fantastic, right? And so lesson learned, right? That's what the whole parable is about. Don't start something if you aren't willing to finish it. Don't start something if you aren't willing to do it with all the quality, right? That's the message of the story, right? Kind of. But I've got a question. Do we think here that Jesus is talking generally, or is there something that he is really specifically asking us to think about before jumping in? Well, the answer is actually right in the verse before it, in Luke 14:27. And whoever does not carry their own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wanted to build a tower. You'd first sit down and count the cost. Jesus is actually saying here, not to start building the tower until we've counted the cost. He's telling for a specific reason. That's that he's saying, hey, before you call yourself a disciple, count the cost of what that means first, right? Because we look at the incredible things that Jesus promises, right? And when we look at being a disciple of Jesus, right? It means that we love Jesus, we follow him, we listen to his teachings, we try to live like him, right? And in return, Jesus tells us throughout his life that he will give us life to the full, freedom from sin, forgiveness, eternal life with him. And we hear all these amazing things and we go, yeah, Jesus, I love you too. I want to jump in. I'll be your disciple. We talk about how the old is gone, the new has come. But then when we get down to it, we forget that there is a cost. We forget that Jesus calls us to carry our cross. And what does that mean? Boys and girls, am I carrying my cross right now just because I'm wearing a cross necklace? No. If I slap some cross stickers on my phone and carry it with me every day, is that me carrying my cross? Well, what does carrying the cross mean? Well, when we think about it, oh, Jazzy's got an answer. Love, absolutely. Well, yeah. Well, I think Jesus had a lot of love when he carried his cross, didn't he? And what did carrying the cross cost Jesus? Cost him everything. Cost Jesus his life. To carry our own cross means so much more than we give it credit for. And it's incredible because we see these people who had to weigh up this cost before. Take the rich young ruler, for example, who comes and he asks Jesus, how do I attain eternal life? Jesus says to him, he goes, do all the law of Moses and you will get eternal life. The rich young guy, he goes, yep, done it. First and foremost, liar. It's a lot of rules, right? But he says, yep, done it. Is there anything else? And Jesus replies, says this, if you want to be perfect, then go and sell all the things you own. Give the money to the poor. If you do this, you will have a treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. But when the young man heard this, he became very sad because he was very rich. So he left Jesus. Now, what's important for us to know here is that it's not that money itself is evil, right? It's not that I'm telling you physically the cost this morning is to give as all of your credit cards and walk away. That's not the cost. But what Jesus saw in the rich young ruler was something that was more important than he was and therefore would distract the rich young man from following Jesus with everything that he had, right? And it's the same for us today. Jesus says, follow me and I'll give you life and life to the full. And we have to ask, what is that going to cost me? And the answer is everything. Everything. Your old life, your old ways, your sin, your control, it all actually has to die. This is what Jesus says. It's not that we take our old ways and we put it to the back of our mind or in a dark corner, right? It actually has to die. And to build the tower that Jesus had laid out for us, right? Because that's what that tower is. It's the life that Jesus has for us. It's going to cost us, though, to put all those bricks down, to lay everything down. The rich young ruler left sad because it wasn't a price he was willing to pay. He wasn't willing to carry that cross. He thought for him to have life and life to the full, he needed his money more than he needed Jesus. And I wonder later in life, that rich young ruler, what was he left with? At the end of his life, did he look back and go, man, that was so worth it keeping my money? Or did he look back and go,
wow, I missed the greatest opportunity of my life to live life and life to the full with Jesus. What had he built? And do you think that it was worth it? What do you think, boys and girls, was worth it? Good answer, Henry. No. So what does it mean for us to pay that price? It's a little bit different for all of us, right? Not all of us are rich young rulers, believe it or not. But for us, it all comes from the same place. We have to pick up our cross and follow him. We have to put to death our old life, our old ways, our sin, right? And Jesus says himself in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commands. For us to build that tower that Jesus laid out, the blueprints that he's given us, it means we have to keep the commands of Jesus and we have to reject the things that aren't of him, right? We have to reject that sin. This is tricky because usually we don't often actually sin because we want to. It's not that we want to be bad or sinful, but it's because we're worried about what might happen if we don't. We're worried about what people might think, or we think that we don't have a choice. The truth is that we always do. We always have a choice. And as I said, it's different for all of us. For the rich young ruler, it was idolatry. He loved his money more than he loved Jesus. We see this. He walked away sad because his money was more important than Jesus. He wasn't willing to lay it down. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is Jesus calling us to lay down? What is more important in our lives than Jesus? Because we can look at this rich young ruler and go, ah, what a goose, you know? He missed out on an incredible life, right, with Jesus. But I wonder, if somebody was to be a fly on the wall of your life, what would your actions show that you value more? Would we see you all in for Jesus, or would we see that there are other things that you value more than your life with Jesus? Really quickly, I mean, I think time is a massive one for us today, and I don't want to spend all day here, but time is a big one for us today. Because we can say that we love Jesus and that we'll follow him to the ends of the earth, and then we come to on a Sunday morning and we worship God and we're all excited. But then during the week, God's like, awesome, so you're going to spend time with me? And we're like, I was willing to pay the price of that time on a Sunday, but that price on during the week, that's not time that I'm willing to put down. That's not time I'm willing to lay down. We spend hours watching TV, and then the statistics say that we're spending a few minutes every week reading the Word of God. What does that show that we value more? Do we value Jesus in our life, or do we value comfort and entertainment? Do we value our time to relax? Time on a Sunday is easy, but during the week, not so much. So we have to ask ourselves once again, am I going to pay the price and am I going to lay down that time? If you don't, I want you to think, what's the cost? What are you left with at the end if we don't pay that price? Because it's not going to be the tower that Jesus laid out for us. It's going to be a tower that looks a bit more like that. And for some of us, it's totally the opposite problem when it comes to time, right? And that is that we you know, with God every single week, but then God's like, great, well, I've told you to go to church and you know, I've told you to use your gifts and your talents for your brothers and sisters and be with other believers. And so you'll go to church on a Sunday, right? And we're like, I just like soccer a bit more. You know, I just like sports a bit more. And so I'll come on my buys. I'll come every few months when I have some spare time, you know. But no, I prefer what I do on a Sunday rather than being here. But that's not what God has called us to do. But we have to ask, are we willing to lay down that time? And it's beyond that. It's everything that we put above Jesus, right? Everything that we decide to do that puts something else above a life with Jesus, right? We lie because everybody else did, right? Or we're worried about what will happen to us if we don't. We're worried more about consequences or about fitting in more than we are about the life of Jesus. But Jesus says, yeah, I know, but that's the cost. I've asked you to lay it down. You're my disciple, not theirs, right? What do you think God wants you to do in that situation? What do we think? Tell the truth or lie? Ah, great work, Toby.
For adults in the room, right, and I know this very well as a tradie, if I'm honest, it's something that I struggled with for a very long time, is kind of that culture of language, right? Bad language, bad jokes, gossip, and we use it just to fit in. And I remember after being in the trade for a few years, I really noticed that it was affecting my language. And I had to step back and I went, oh, I've been so focused on fitting in that I haven't been doing what God's asked me to do and keep my mouth pure and honoring Him, right? We make those bad jokes, we participate in gossip, all in pursuit of fitting in. But God's asking you today, will you lay it down? Even if it means that you stand out. Even if it means that it affects your friendships. Even if it means that it changes how people see you. Will you lay it down? Because everything has to go in order to live the life that Jesus has called us to live. So the question this morning, what have you not yet laid down? I want you to count the cost and ask yourself this morning, are you willing to lay it down? Whatever it may be. Will you lay down gossip even if your friends are doing it? Will you lay down selfishness even if it means sharing things that are yours, right? We never want to do that. Will you lay down anger even if it means forgiving someone you don't want to? Will you lay down pride even if it means that you don't get all the glory at the end of your match, but you thank your team rather than boast about what you did? Will you lay down your time, even if it means sometimes missing something that you enjoy? Even if it costs you, even if it affects your friendships, even if it makes you stand out, even if it gives you FOMO, count the cost. Are you willing to pay it today? Because you can say, I follow Jesus and Jesus changed my life. But if none of your actions change, what does that show the world? What does that show that you value? Do you really value the new life that Jesus has called you to? Or do you prefer your old ways? Because you had big plans and you told everyone, I'm a disciple of Jesus, but then nothing changed. And all of a sudden, you look silly. You're in a Bunnings poncho, getting water poured on you, you know? Like that's what's going to happen. No, I'm joking. But we need to count the cost. We can say that we love Jesus and follow him to the ends of the earth and do everything he asks of us, but if we don't, we're going to look silly. We're going to look like the rich young ruler who walked away sad, who missed out on a fulfilled life because he thought he needed something else to fill that gap. But he didn't. He had the opportunity of a lifetime. We can say that Jesus changed our life, but then not even be able to share our toys with someone. We're telling everybody, I've followed a generous God. Hey, can I have one lolly from your packet? No. Real generous, mate. I can see Jesus changed your life. I love God. I love his church. How often do you go? Once every few months? Who are your friends there? Oh, I sort of just walk in and then run out. Right? It's like, we said that we would be all in for Jesus. Except for that. I'll go all in for you, Jesus. Except for that. That price is just a bit too much. But what we don't lay down, God can't use to build. You know, Jesus says something incredible. He says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. The rich young ruler had a problem. He looked at the cost. He wasn't willing to put everything down, but he never once looked at what there was to gain. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. And I think of Paul who shares a passage that I come back to again and again and again because it is so crucial for our lives. And it's when he says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. And these are words that I pray that at the end of my life, when I look back on my life, that I'll be able to say these words. That I'll be able to say that I lived all in for Jesus. Not that I was the person that when I started building the tower went like, oh, I'm all in for you, Jesus. Ah, except for that one. Put that to the side. Oh, except for that one, God. I can't pay that price. When I look back, I want to see a life not lived the way that I wanted to do it, but I want to see a life that honors God. A life where I did everything that he asked for me. A life where I ran the race. I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. A life where what people thought of me didn't change my actions. A life where I rejected sin and followed Jesus. A life in the fully built tower. A life of obedience all in for Jesus Christ. a life laid down, an entire life lost, but a much better one found. Paul could have looked back on his life and easily focused on the times that he was in pain, the times that he was shipwrecked and beaten and chased out of cities and said, man, the cost was way too much. But instead, what I love about Paul is that he looks ahead to the reward that awaits him. He looks at the fully built tower, the race ran well, the life with Jesus, and the eternity that he will spend with Christ. He lost everything, but gained so much more. Because what Paul understood was that everything that he laid down, God used to build. And the same is true for us today. God wants to build us up, but we have to lay it down first, right? We have to look at it and go, you know what? I'm laying down anger. I'm laying down anger. I'm not getting angry with my friends. I'm not holding grudges. I'm not doing any of that anymore. And as we lay that down, God builds us up with a spirit of forgiveness, right? When we lay down our selfish desire, we go, you know what? I'm not living for what I want to do anymore. I'm living for what God wants me to do. And as we lay down our selfish desire, God builds us up with godly desire. Only four more. Hey, this is a big one. Worry. You know, God's called some people to do some crazy things and they could sit there and they could be worried about it. But when we say, you know what? I'm going to trust you, God, because you've called me to do it. And we lay down that worry, God builds us up with peace. As we lay it down, God uses it to build us back up. As we lay down, hey, here's a similar one last year, right? Fruits of the flesh first. As we lay down the fruits of the flesh, what has God built us back up with? Fruits of the Spirit. And it's not a coconut. As we lay down our lies, you know what, God? I'm not going to lie anymore. I don't want to lie to my friends. I don't want to lie just because everybody else is doing it. I want to be careful with my words. God builds us back up with truth. Pride. You know what, God? I don't need to be the center of attention anymore. Everything I do, I want to do for your glory. It doesn't have to be about me. I don't have to be the one in the spotlight. Everything I do for you. And as we lay down that pride, God builds us up in humility. Everything we lay down, God uses to build. And you have two choices. You can look at what it's going to cost you, what you have to lay down, or you can look at what God builds back up. Right? And Beacon Kids, as we've gone through the whole Bible, we have seen this again and again and again. Abraham had to lay down comfort and even lay down his son as he traveled far away, but God built him up with faith and made a covenant with him. Moses had to lay down his fear that he wasn't enough, that he couldn't lead the people, that he couldn't speak well, and God built him up as the leader who led the freed Israelites out of Egypt. David laid his life on the line when facing Goliath and put his fear to the side when running from Saul, but God built him up to be the king of Israel. Ruth gave up her homeland, gave up the security of her future life to follow Naomi and ultimately to follow God, and God built her up to become part of the most important lineage to exist, the lineage of David and ultimately Jesus. Each of these people throughout Scripture did incredibly important things. Last week, Nehemiah, a cupbearer to the king, a nobody, said, you know what? I'm going to lay down my fear and I'm going to ask that king to pay to build the walls of Jerusalem again. And God did it. Because what we lay down, God uses to build back up. Friends, God has a plan for you this morning. He has a plan for your life. He has a blueprint that he wants you to follow. But we have to ask ourselves, what do we have to lay down to see that happen? So I ask one more time, and we're about to go into a moment of worship. And the song that we're going to go into, I love it so much, it's Who Else? And it says, who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? because Jesus is the only one worth going all in for. And so this morning, as we enter this moment of worship, I want us to think of these questions just one more time. Think to yourself, what life am I building? Have I counted the cost? Do my actions and my words line up? Am I living the life that Jesus wants, or do I think that my way is better? And most importantly of all, what is God calling me to lay down today? We have a choice, and I've got to be honest, I've made mine, and I'm not ashamed of it. I want to live a life all in for Jesus. I don't care about my old life. This is where I want to be. And so I invite you all to stand to your feet, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to enter this worship. And as we worship, just don't worry who's to the left or to the right. This is between you and Jesus. To find out, Jesus, what are you calling me to lay down? What have I held on to for too long? So Lord God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the privilege that it is, Lord God, to come and bring Beacon Kids down to the main stage, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you that you are so good, that you have a plan for every one of our lives, Lord. We just thank you, God, that you've called us to lay things down, that what we lay down, you use to build us back up. God, we invite you into this place right now to come and speak to us. Come speak, Lord Jesus. Convict our hearts, tell us what we need to lay down so that you can build us back up in the ways that you've called us. In your mighty name, Jesus. Everybody said.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.